This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
With Easter only a matter of days away, our supermarkets are glistening with the sight of brightly coloured foil-wrapped chocolate. Now, before we go any further with this conversation, I just want to make also the point that don't forget that foil wrap is recyclable, so make sure it goes in your recycle bin. But whilst our consumption of chocolate increases this weekend, you might be surprised to know that on average, we consume, Australians, 32 kilos a year. I find that absolutely astonishing, but it doesn't surprise me in a way because I reckon I eat probably a little bit more. But whilst eating chocolate may be a pleasurable experience for us, it's not so for many who supply the main ingredient. And this is where the chocolate scorecard comes in, and appropriately, it's released at Easter. So how do our chocolate manufacturers rate? Well, Stephanie Perkis is an associate professor in accounting from the University of Wollongong, joins us on the line. Stephanie, welcome to Drive.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Do you hit the 32 kilogram mark for chocolate consumption?
Oh, I'd like to say I don't, but I probably get pretty close to it.
I think we all secretly do.
Just to quote that one, it's equivalent. So it's not like we're sitting down eating 32 kilos, but the equivalent. So it's still in our diet somewhere.
Definitely. Now, the chocolate scorecard, it's in its fifth edition. Who produces it and what's its purpose?
So it's produced by, it's run out of an NGO in Sydney called Be Slavery Free, and their focus is on working with other NGOs and civil society to eliminate modern slavery and other abuses within supply chains. But we teamed up with them a few years back, myself from the University of Wollongong and then a few other colleagues, one from Macquarie University in Sydney, and we've produced a chocolate scorecard. And the aim of it is, it's not kind of a blame and shame type scorecard. Mm. It's a way of rating and ranking companies in the hope that it will drive a better supply chain. So the scorecard rates and ranks companies on 7 different criteria points, and it looks at how much companies know about their cocoa supply chain. Do they know where it's coming from? Is their cocoa produced with child labor? Is it deforestation free? Is it pesticide free? Are they paying their farmers well? All those types of things.
Now, I know it's not a name and shame exercise, but normally we wouldn't name brands, but this is, I think, such an important issue. And, you know, I don't like the thought that large multinational companies in particular are profiting off unsustainable and, let's call them, abusive practices in their supply chain. Whilst they may not be directly responsible for the supply chain, we know that they do have an influence. So let's go for it. Let's start with the good eggs. Because I believe the scorecard gives them eggs.
Yes, it used to. We've changed it this year. It's kind of designed as a cocoa pod.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I think in all my work, I've still been referring to it as eggs. So we've got green eggs, and they relate to the companies that are doing the best in policy and practice. So the top one this year went again to Tony's Chocolate Only. Mm-hmm. And for those at home, it also is delicious chocolate. And also, of the really large companies that we assessed, Rittersport was up there as well. That's probably not as common in Australia. But if we're looking at the most common ones on our shelves, Mars, Whittaker's, Nestle, Hershey's, Ferrero were all rated a yellow.
What does yellow mean?
So it means that they're progressing. They're not right up the top, but they're progressing in all those points that I spoke about before.
Now, I mean, I always try to buy anything made here in Australia. Not only do I want to support local businesses, but I'm also uncomfortable, I suppose, with the energy required to transport a product, say, from Europe. Now, I agree with you. I buy the chocolate only all the time, but I wish I could buy, you know, Cadbury or something like that, because I'd like to support the Hobart in the Hobart factory. But are the big companies such as Cadbury, and I think that's owned by Mondelez, are they starting to take notice of the chocolate scorecard?
Yeah, they are. Mondelez is quite far down the bottom.
Right.
Despite some of its initiatives, they're not doing so well. Some of the companies that we speak to will say that it's part of their KPIs. Others will organise consultants in order to help them complete the survey. We do a lot of research afterwards with the companies where they need to improve, what policies they could do. Our colleagues from the NGOs, they actually travel over to the Cocoa World conferences. They travel to West Africa and they do a lot of on-the-ground research as well. So all of that is put back into the chocolate scorecard, and companies, I believe, are taking note of it. We've got a lot of good feedback so far that companies are doing well, that they're really happy that they've got a green score this year and so on.
Now, one of the companies that was rated in the scorecard is it the Green and Black company. Now, I thought that chocolate was promoted as organic, and I suppose if that's the case, we often associate that with not having any of these other problems in their supply chain, don't we? But is that the case with this one?
Or if a company is 100% organic, then it means that they've not used any pesticides.
Right.
So for that rating, they would get a green rating for the pesticide marker, but it definitely doesn't mean that it's free from the human rights abuses. It definitely doesn't mean that they're paying their farmers a living income, that it's free of child labour or even deforestation either. So there's a whole array of abuses that are in the chocolate production and in the supply chain. So just organic means that the company is doing really, really well in that instance, but you'd have to look at the whole process around, you know, the production and the supply chain.
Now, also the supermarkets, I mean, obviously they sell the stuff and they could put pressure on our farmers and our suppliers to meet their expectations, which we know they do. Why can't they put pressure on the chocolate companies to be more sustainable? Like, how are they going?
Oh, I wish I could answer this question. I have a lot of personal opinions that probably are outside what the scorecard offers. Retailers ranked really poorly. No retailers got a green rating this year, and that includes our Woolworths, got an orange, Coles, David Jones, all did really poorly with red ratings. Audi is owned by German, but obviously we know Audi's in Australia. Mm. They got a yellow rating, so they were the best of a bad bunch, should I say. Mm. We rate them predominantly based on that those companies produce their own private label chocolate. So that's mainly what they're addressing whenever they answer our questions in the scorecard. But we do ask a question that says, are you driving the brands that you stock? You know, is Woolworths reaching out to Mondelez and to Nestle and saying, guys, you've got to do better? And in most cases, they say no.
Okay.
I don't know whether it's
so they pick
not
and choose
a priority or it's too difficult, but yeah, that's the case.
Well, interesting you say that, because I mean, we're talking about this today, and the Joy Drive family are a smart bunch, and I'm sure most of us will try some of these other brands as a result of the conversation. How important is it that consumer behaviour, how important is consumer behaviour in driving out some of these bad practices? Like, if the supermarkets aren't going to put pressure on the chocolate companies, we can put pressure on the supermarkets, can't we, by buying only the brands that get a good rating?
Yeah, for sure. And so for the supermarkets, for example, I personally wouldn't go into Coles and buy a Coles branded chocolate because they rated so poorly on their own private label. But consumers, you know, there's always that, you know, if I do this, it probably isn't going to make a big difference.
It does.
But if you have that mindset, then everybody's going to think like that, and there's never going to be any change at all. But if everybody gets into that mindset, like every little purchase, every bit of consumer behavior counts, then yeah, it'll definitely change the industry. And we're not saying the scorecard is not a mechanism to say don't buy chocolate anymore. That's definitely not going to happen. And it's not trying to say, you know, don't go to these big brands. Don't go. We're just trying to lift the bar as a whole. So if people stop buying Cadbury and focus more on Mars or Whittaker's because they've done a lot better in many of these markers, then it's going to ask the other companies to lift their game as well.
Which is really good. And I have noticed the chocolate only, like I used to have to go to an IGA to buy it, and now you can get it in both of the major supermarkets. So obviously they've seen it and gone, okay, people are buying this product, so we are going to stock it as well. So I suppose it will work like that.
Yeah, and it's a tiny little bit more expensive. But I think you pay for the quality, you pay for the taste as well. It's delicious. And you pay for the processes behind it, how it's been made. And I think that all makes a big difference.
Well, let's hope one day it doesn't matter which brand we buy because they're all doing the right thing. So looking forward to that. Stephanie, have a good Easter. Are you going to eat lots of eggs?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to get my order in for Tony's Chocolonely very shortly.
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us on Drive today.
Thank you for having me.
Stephanie Perkis, an Associate Professor in Accounting at the University of Wollongong.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.